Of Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2. Luke, chapter number 2. Woke up this morning with this scripture on my heart, and I know it may seem a little different for the hour and the occasion, but whatever the Lord wants is always right, and I'm glad for that. And so we'll try to read and preach to your hearts this morning what the Lord has put on our heart. We classify certain scriptures on occasion many times, but I'm glad that all scripture, the Bible said, is profitable for the people of God. And I trust that the Lord will help us this morning if you'd pray for us for just a few minutes. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2, when you found your place, if you're physically able, willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. Very, very familiar scripture that we'll read into your hearing this morning. Luke chapter 2, and I want to begin reading in verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I woke up this morning with this scripture on my heart. And the verse from the song in the hymnal that said, when Jesus comes, the way is bright, for He's the way, the truth, the light. I want to preach this morning for a few minutes, if God would help me, on when Jesus comes. I've heard a lot of people talking in these days, and I told the Lord, very guarded in my spirit this morning, about certain things. I told the Lord, unless He wanted me to make mention of some of the things of our day, I would not, unless He brought them to me. But I've heard a lot of people concerning the things that are going on in our day. And saw a lot of things, and people are rushing to what the world would classify as the Christmas season, and they're decorating and putting up stuff earlier than they ever have. And I don't have anything against any of that. I want you to know that this morning. I'm not belittling or talking bad about anybody. But I've heard people say that the reason they're doing that is that they need a source of joy or a source of hope. And so they're decorating and all these things, and they let on like that these things, and I understand that there's pleasure and there's enjoyment in them, and please hear me well this morning what I'm saying, but that there is really no true joy and hope in those things. But what I read about this morning is the true source of joy and hope in the life of the believer, and that is when Jesus comes. I thought about on this day all these years ago, it was such a time, such as man had never seen. What a difference these shepherds sitting on the hillside watching their flock by night. If anybody should have been told about the coming of the Lord, it should have been in our estimation or by our faults. The Lord should have went to the religious crowd or the leaders at the synagogue or the temple. But no, out on the hillside, a despised bunch of men were watching over their flock by night. And out of the midst of the darkness that they were in, it wasn't just a dark time physically, but it was a dark time spiritually. They had endured 400 years of silence. God had not spoke by any way in 400 years. From the close of Malachi to what happened on this blessed night, there was no word from God. There was no work from God. There was no wonders being performed as God had done in the life of the children of Israel time and time again. What a dark time they lived in. But when Jesus come, it brightened up. The Bible said they were keeping watch over their flock by night, and the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And it wasn't just the brightness of the countenance of the angels and the glory of God, but it was the brightness in the dark time that hope for the first time in 400 years, that hope was again renewed in the lives of the people of God. That Christ had come. This one they've looked for, they've waited on, they thought so many were Him, and they turned out not to be Him. They watched many men down through the years, and all of them failed, all of them sinned, all of them had fallen, and they had their hopes shattered. But I'm glad on this blessed night, hope was renewed. Matter of fact, hope was born on this night because Jesus came. What a difference He made when He came. What a difference He makes when He comes by. Now, I'm not necessarily this morning preaching about Him coming again, but I'm telling you there'll be a difference made when He comes again. He is coming one day after a while, and He's coming for those that are ready. I'm glad this morning my ticket's bought and paid for. I'm already on board. I'm ready when He comes. And if you're not ready, my hope is that you get ready before He comes. But what a difference He makes when He just comes by. That's what's been on my heart this morning when I woke up singing that song in my head. When Jesus comes, the way is bright. It don't matter how dark it is, He can brighten it up. It don't matter how hopeless it looks, He can renew hope again. And I'm telling you, in these days, regardless of what's going on out there, we're in dark days and in dark times. But I'm glad there's never a night dark enough that He His light can't brighten it up in our heart. It don't matter how bad it gets. And I'm trying my best. I'll just try to mind the Lord this morning. But I'm telling you, it don't matter. And I'm telling you, I'm not trying to preach politics or current events. But it don't matter who's in the White House. It won't change the fact that God's still in His house and on His throne, and He's still alive in the darkness of this world. And it's going to get worse. And I'm not here this morning to belittle you. I don't have no agenda. But I'm telling you, Jesus said it will get worse. You say you say that a lot. Well, it's on my heart a lot because it's the reality of our days. But I'm glad the darker the light, the night, the brighter the light can shine. They sung a song, some group did. Said there'll come sweet things out of dark places. I'm glad I can stand this morning and testify to you and say, but not just by knowledge of reading, not just by hearing somebody else, but by my own experience, I can tell you God can bring sweet things out of dark places. He can bring light to a dark night. He can bring hope to a soul in despair. I'm telling you, if He comes by, He'll cure all the problems that are in your heart. Doesn't necessarily mean all the problems go away. Doesn't mean everything's just a smooth sailing, you know. But when He comes by, I mean they were still in bad days. They were still in a time when the religious leaders would reject the Lord. He'd come to His own would receive Him not. But it didn't change the fact that for those that wanted Him, the Bible said as many as received Him, unto them gave He power to become the sons of God. He was hope for those that desired hope. And He can be your hope this morning. He is hope. He is our only hope. The writer said, and I know I mention a lot about songs, but it stirs my heart. What they said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And apart from that, there is no hope. But with that, there's all the hope this world has. That is my hope. My hope's not in a ballot. My hope's not in a count. My hope's, if it was, I'd be sitting in ashes this morning, and so would you. It looks like this world is going to be turned upside down, and it probably is. And to bring it closer home, it looks like our nation may be turned upside down. But I'm glad I know the one that's in control. And when the world's upside down, He can start turn you right side up and give you hope in a dark day. When He comes, the way is bright. Why? Because He's the way, the truth, the light. And the verse went on to say, He cheers me on when I'm sad. He's the dearest friend I ever had. He's cheering my heart this morning. I don't know about yours, but I needed some cheering. I needed to hear Him. I needed to feel Him. And I can feel Him this morning, and I hope you can too. And He'll help you if you'll let Him. Many times we come, and I'm just preaching this morning. I ain't got nothing to follow except the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And that's all we need anyway. But sometimes we come into the house of God and we write it off. We'll get no help today because of the circumstances of the world, or because of our circumstances, or because of our situation. And we come in and we think there is no hope. I know where you are. I've been there. But I'm telling you this morning, there is hope. You say it looks impossible. He can do the impossible. Job said there's even hope. And I know there's a contextual application. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm trying to make an application. Job said there's even hope of a tree. If it be cut down through the sin of water, it can sprout again. You may feel like the tree of your hope has been cut down. But if you'll hear the water and let the water rest in your soul, it can sprout again. And it ain't just no little bitty sprout. Job didn't say it just sprout. But he said through the sin of water, it can sprout again and bring forth boughs like a plant. I'm telling you, that means it can grow and stretch and overshadow your trouble, overshadow your fear, overshadow your care. I'm telling you about hope this morning. We have hope. We have an anchor The writer of Hebrews said, which hope we have. What is that hope? The hope that in the context is the fact that whatever God promises, He's able and has the power to fulfill. He promised Abraham a son and He brought it to pass. He's promised other things in the past and He always brings it to pass. And therefore, seeing we have this hope, which is an anchor of the soul, and entereth in with that within the veil, whither Christ the forerunner is entered for us, we lay hold on a strong consolation. I'm glad this morning there's hope. I know we all, I'm not going to say I don't know who's here and needs to hear this, because I do know by the help of the Holy Ghost we all need to hear it this morning that there's hope. It matters not what the world does. As the writer that song we sung, let others seek a home below. I feel like traveling on. What he said was, let the world do what they may. There's something in me greater than what they have. Say, it's getting bad, preacher. I know it is. And I'm not trying just to preach songs this morning, but they just keep coming. The writer said, the storms of life may round me roll. This earth, and I'm telling you, we're about there. He said, this earth may shake from pole to pole, but none of this shall daunt my face. The Savior is my hiding place. Yes, I have found a hiding place. A blessed, blessed hiding place. I'm glad I've found Him, and He's found me, and I'm in Him this morning. The Bible said we have fled and found refuge. He's a very present help in trouble. Hope for the hopeless. Light in the darkness. I'm telling you, I've got Him this morning. And I'm glad I do. And it ain't so much that I've got Him, but He's got me. And I'm in His hand. He said, all that the Father giveth me are in my hand, and no man's able to put them out. He said, I and my Father are one. And He said, we're all in my Father's hand. And He said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. In other words, He said, if you're shouting because you're in my hand, let me tell you how to kick it up a notch. You ought to shout greater because my Father's got us all, and He's above all. And no man shall pluck us out. You say it's going to get bad. I know it is. But it ain't going to change Him a bit. He's not sitting on the throne, on the edge of the throne of heaven this morning, wringing His hands, scratching His head, trying to figure out what's going on. He knew before this year ever came all the chaos that was going to happen, and He's made provision and plans for you and me. We ought to praise Him this morning that we have hope. Our hope's not in this world. That's our problem. We keep looking to the world. We keep, and I'm just preaching, okay? I'm preaching myself as much as anybody else. We keep looking to the news station for them to tell us about some hope. We keep listening to the radio for them to tell us some glimmer of hope. We keep reading the newspaper hoping for some hope, but there's no hope in this world. But I will tell you where there is hope. Between the pages of this blessed color is all the hope that you and I need. Turn off the TV, throw out the radio, turn off Facebook for a little while and get in His book and find the hope that we need in this dark day. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. Don't worry about tomorrow. God's already taken care of it. There's hope. Don't worry about the next day. If it comes, God's already got it. And He's already taken care of it. He knows the end from the beginning. He said, I am He which was and is, and I'm alive forevermore. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He said, I had it in the beginning. I've got it now. And He's always going to have it. There's hope in Him. What are you hoping in this morning? How do you see your hope? Do you have hope? If you're saved, you have hope. It may be just a little glimmer of a flicker down inside you. Like the, oh, and here I go again. Like the old writer of the song wrote, the flames flickered, but it's never gone out. I'm telling you, there's a spark, according to that song and according to the Word of God, there's a spark lit inside you. When you was born again, you got the earnest of the inheritance, the Spirit of God, and that produces hope on the inside of the people of God. Some days we can't see it for the darkness. Sometimes it feels like it's going to be snuffed out, but I'm glad it may have flickered a time or two, but it ain't never went out. And I believe the Lord this morning has come by in the hearts of some people, and He's wanting to fan the fire and blow on your soul and let her burn brighter than she's ever burnt. You say we're in 2020. Don't matter to God. Time don't matter to Him anyway. He's still as much God today as He's ever been. He wants to inhabit His people as much today as He ever has. He wants you to have as much power as they ever have before. He wants us to have hope. Turn our eyes away from all this other stuff. To quit looking at all the doom and the gloom. And to realize there's a God that's in control. It's kind of like them old disciples, and I think I'm about done this morning. It's kind of like them disciples on the boat when He sent them apart across the sea, and He went apart to pray. They felt like they were all alone. They felt like He had abandoned them at their most vulnerable hour. And when He was away, the storm came, and they thought, why is He not here? Has He abandoned us? Has He forsaken us? Has He left us here and sent us here to die? And sometimes in our heart, we feel the same way as the church, as the people of God. But about the fourth watch of the night, in the darkest part of the hour, He came walking on the water. You say, what does that say to me? I don't know what it says to you. It's what it says to me. That thing that they're fighting so hard to get under control, and it wasn't doing any good. That thing they're trying to get peace about, but it kept raging and they couldn't get any peace. That thing they had no power to control but wish they did was the very thing He had under His feet. He said, boys, I've got it all under control. He said, fear not, it is I. Be of good cheer. You say, how's that possible? There's hope. And you may be in your fourth watch of your night, and you're in the storm, and you're trying everything you can do to keep your boat in the right direction. You're trying everything you can. The Bible said they is filled with water, and by all stretches of common sense, a boat full of water must go under, but it didn't. And I'm telling you, it don't matter how much water we take on, we'll never go under because we're in control by the master of the ship. One old preacher said, the only way you can drown, sometimes in this life we feel like we're drowning in the cares and the worries and the storms and the tumults and the tribulations. And one old preacher said, the only way scientifically possible for you to drown in water is for your head to go under and stay under. And he said, the head of the church in the book of Ephesians is Christ. The devil might get all the body under, but he'll never get the head under. We'll never drown. We'll never go down. He'll always, always, always prevail in the end. And because He prevailed, so will we. Brother Jeremy Oakley, I borrowed this statement from him. He said He travailed at Calvary and prevailed at the tomb. And because He travailed and prevailed, you and I one blessed day will prevail. It may not seem like it right now. Right now, it seems like we're the ones travailing. We're the ones in sorrow. We're the ones in agony. But rest assured, child of God, we will prevail. It'll all come out in the end. And I'll promise you, when the dust settles, we'll be standing, not because of who we are, as far as within ourselves, not because of any deed we've done, not because of what a citizen we were, not because of what member of what church we were, not because of how much money we put in offering plate, but because our blessed captain, who's never lost a battle, he's never lost anything, he's never made a mistake, he's never messed up, he'll be standing, and because of him, we'll be standing one day. Seems like now we're being trampled on, but that's okay, we'll come out on top. It seems like right now everything's against us, but that's okay. If God be for us, who can be against us? They arrested the apostles one day and brought the case before the religious leaders of that day. They said, we're going to have to do something with these men. They're preaching and turning the world upside down. And there's a heathen man in attendance that day as far as God. He knew the law. He knew all of that, but he didn't know God. But he knew enough about God to make an accurate statement. And this is what he said. He said, there have been others that have come before them that it seemed like they would turn the world upside down. But eventually their works came to naught and it all fizzled out. And I'm going to tell you the truth this morning. That's what the world's expecting through all this, is for the church just to fizzle out. But this is what that old man by the name of Gamaliel stood and said. He said, if it be of men, no need to fight it. It'll come to naught. But he said, if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. He said, there ain't no use fighting it. If it's of God, ain't nothing you can do about it. I'm telling you this morning, I don't know if it's doing anything for your heart, but it's a working in mine. That this work that Christ started over 2,000 years ago wasn't a work by the church. It wasn't a work by man. It's not been by the efforts. I thank God for those that went before us, but we're not here this morning necessarily because of those that went before us. We're here this morning because it was started of God and it cannot be overthrown. So let the world try, and they're going to. The Bible said the heathen will rage, and they are raging in this day. But I'm going to tell you what, when the battle's over and the trumpet sounds, we'll be on the winning side. And it's not just that we will be, we are now on the winning side. One person wrote, I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay. I'm telling you this morning, that blessed Tuesday night, I got put on the winning side. And I ain't always felt like a winner. I ain't always felt like I had victory. But I'm going to tell you something. Ever since that blessed night, they've been days, if you want to know the honest truth, here's my estimation of it. They've been days I've not necessarily felt saved. They've been days I felt like I was spinning my wheels. They've been days I felt like I wasn't doing no good. But I have never, ever been under that load of condemnation, sin, and guilt. They've been days I ain't felt saved since then. But there ain't never been a day I've felt lost again. Something down on the inside of me, even in them lowest, darkest hours of the night, something down inside, like the writer said, he whispers sweet peace to me. And it may not be some big booming voice that everybody's wanting to hear, but I'm glad when he speaks, I know his voice. When he passes by, I know who he is. He's passed by my way before. I've strayed far from the text this morning, I know, but that's okay. My whole point was this. It made a difference to them when Jesus came. Oh, what a difference it made. And I'm going to tell you, if he comes by where you are, it won't matter what else is going on. He'll make a difference. If he'll soothe your hurting heart and your crying broken spirit in the wee hours of the night, it'll make all the difference in the world. It may not banish all your problems, may not put them all together right then, but it'll cure your heart. He'll bring hope to you when he comes. I wonder this morning, I'm done. I wonder this morning if you're hurting this morning, if there's unrest on the inside, if there's trouble in your soul, whatever, about whatever. It may not be that you're upset or troubled. this morning in your soul, I'm sure everybody's upset about everything that's going on. But I'm talking about down deep inside, you need some help. And He's come by this morning and He wants to help you. I've said it, I don't know how many times in how many pulpits that I've stood in, there's never any shame in admitting you need help. The shame is when help's available, you don't get it. As we stand to our feet this morning, I'm done. I believe with all my heart